Modern Casserole is a podcast of three hungry women. We met working at a food magazine, and each week we talk about food, culture, what we cooked, and what we ate in San Diego and beyond. I'm Olivia, and this is Modern Casserole. So to start, I thought maybe we'll jump over to Maria, and maybe you can tell us what you've been eating this week, since that's literally what we talk about every time we're on a phone call together.
Right. Well, yesterday, I'll just share what I had yesterday, because yesterday was a really good food day. Went into PB, and I got Dave's Hot Chicken, because they just opened. They invited me out for lunch, so I picked up lunch for myself and my son. And I don't know, it was good. It definitely, scratched all the itches, because if you've had Nashville-style hot chicken, there's just something about it that's kind of addictive. I mean, it's fried chicken and then it's dressed in hot sauce, like a really good hot sauce. And they had, they have a combo plate. So it's chicken strips. And we got the one strip, which always comes on, I guess, a slice of white bread. And then I got the slider too. So it was a combo. They have like a kale slaw that goes on that with pickles and I don't know, nice, spicy sauce. I didn't get the name of it. I just ate it. Crinkle fries, all the good things. There's honestly still leftovers in the fridge. I probably have three more meals out of what they gave us. It was incredibly generous, but really, really delicious. And I'll be back.
Yeah, the leftovers thing is big. I love leftovers. I guess I can jump into what I was eating this week. And Phil's Barbecue in San Diego. We have, a few locations here. And Shai, my husband and I actually had gone out. We thought we were going to OB, to Ocean Beach, to get California burritos at Mike's Taco Shop, or Taco Club, I think it's called. And we were like, everything's opening back up, but I'm sure it won't be too crazy over there. We were wrong. We were very wrong. It was crazy. It was, of course, Memorial Day weekend. And, everybody else had the same idea we had. And we probably, could have stayed in line. It would have been not too bad. But for some reason, we were kind of in that hangry zone where we just weren't happy with having to wait, even though we knew we'd have to wait anywhere. So we ended up kind of heading towards Point Loma. And my sister and I were on the phone earlier in that day, and she had been talking about Phil's Barbecue. So literally, it was an itch in the back of my brain, ribs. So I was kind of hoping Shai had that same itch, and he did. So we headed straight over there. And again, a very long line. And if you've ever been to Phil's on Rosecrans, or actually it's Sports Arena area, there's always a line that wraps around the building. It's I think you can even see typically on their site, I think they have a camera to show you, where the line is. That's how it's known. And because everything was 6 feet spread apart, I think it went even further than usual, distance wise. It was wrapped all the way to the back side of the building. And we actually sat in the car for a good 5 minutes, debating if we were going to go and get in that line. Were we going to feel silly for waiting that long? When there was in and out down the street or anything else that we literally could just stay in the car for. But it was I literally said, this will be our activity for the day. This is going to be the thing that we do. It's more than just eating. It's a whole process. So we did get in line, and it was worth it. And we got a, there's a five rib, plate that comes with two sides, and we got the coleslaw and we got the macaroni salad, and it was great. And we were just out afterwards. We brought it home, and I literally fell into a food coma afterwards. No joke. I actually fell asleep on the couch. It was great. It was wonderful. And the best thing was the next day we had actually two of the ribs left over. And my favorite thing to do is make something kind of healthy to go with it. Especially if it's I'm going to have to eat this 2 days in a row, I need to balance things out. So I made a really beautiful salad with greens and avocado and all sorts of really good tomatoes and kind of more acidic things that kind of cut through the barbecue. And I had actually thrown some cucumbers into some old pickling brine the day before. So it was perfect. It was kind of, it had that Texas barbecue angle where you have like the pickles with the
Nice.
barbecue, which I think sometimes honestly it's why I like barbecue is for all the pickles.
Right?
Right? I feel like Felicia, you're like totally on
I
board with
am.
that. We were talking about that
Back up
recently.
just a second.
Pickles.
So you can just put pickles or cucumbers in pickling brine, and like how soon do
Oh
you have to eat
yeah.
them? Like,
Honestly, that night, so I put them in the afternoon. I tasted one like that evening just to see if it was actually picking up the brine. And it already had kind of started turning into a pickle. And the next day, it was even better. I'd say it's kind of the equivalent of making like a quick pickle. But was great. There was no effort, involved. And I even threw in like, another cucumber like the next day after I kind of used up that batch. I mean, I wouldn't use it indefinitely per se, but like, it's pickling brine. Like it's pretty safe. I don't think there's any problem. Like I could have probably thrown in some onions. I could have, really gone for it. And it was kind of the first time I had done that, even though I've made quick pickles before, making my own brine. I just these were Trader Joe's kosher dill pickles, which actually are very like
the
very good.
sandwich
And I
ones
was like,
or
I
the
not the flat ones, but the full
okay.
pickle. And so I couldn't imagine pouring that brine down the sink. So I was like, I'm just gonna throw these cucumbers in there, and that's where that cream came
Actually,
from.
is the you can use the brine in dressing. I just dump like, I don't know, like a tablespoon in with whatever dressing I'm mixing up, and it gives it that wonderful
Tang.
tangy flavor.
I've heard too of like fried chicken, sometimes people brining the chicken
Oh
in pickle
man, that
juice
sounds
ahead.
great.
Too, right? So it kind of brings, things reminds me of the Dave's hot chicken thing. And you said that there were pickles too, right? With the hot chicken. Yeah. So I think that's such a signature thing with like something fried and or something kind of rich is having that pickle to cut through. And that's like my favorite. I mean, I could do without the rich stuff even. That's how much I know I love pickles. You guys love them too.
Pickle and cheese
But
sandwich.
it was so good. Oh yeah, there you go.
One of
I
my
love
things.
that. So yeah, what about you, Felicia? What was your like favorite things you ate or cooked this week?
Well, talking about your meal has me like really on the pickles still. Like going back to, it actually wasn't this week, it was last weekend. We did like a hot dog bar, but it was basically just a vehicle for pickles. Like,
Love
my
that.
husband met the, he stuck the hot dogs on like a wooden skewer. And then did a spiral cut around them so that when they grilled, they became kind of like a bungee. So you could stretch them out even longer in the bun and then just stuff things inside. And man, I went crazy with the pickles because I had shredded pickled beets, which I'd never put on hot dogs before, and it was so good. And this really funky coleslaw.
Sounds
And
familiar.
then sliced
Never
spicy
mind.
pickles. So it was basically like a pickle party with a hot dog buried somewhere in there.
The shredded pickled beets, is that kind of like a sauerkraut or it's only beets, like
It
just
was
shredded
just
beets?
beets. We
Oh wow. That's really pretty
they're
too,
that
like the
beautiful
color.
bright red, and they're kind of the size of like the matchstick carrots. It's
So
like
they're
that
julienned.
size. Yeah, pretty much. And yeah, just that vibrant red color. And they weren't quite as tangy as the sauerkraut. There's a tiny bit of sweetness to them. I mean,
Did
obviously,
you
because they're
make them or
beets.
did
Did
you
you
get
get
natural
them somewhere?
sweetness?
Oh, I bought them. I bought them at the Persian market, which also has a bunch of Russian, and this was a Polish pickle. Yeah, there's an
I love
entire pickle
that.
aisle, so I highly recommend
Yeah.
it.
Yes, I know. I know that one very well, thanks to you.
Right now we're not eating out at all, so we've been on kind of this campaign trying to recreate all the foods that we love that we usually get out. And the one thing I've been avoiding this whole time is pizza, because to me pizza is like a freaking religion, and I just didn't even want to go there and disappoint myself. But I finally broke down. I have my pizza stone. I'm lazy. And I didn't have flour, so I bought dough at Trader Joe's, and I'm gonna make my own
Oh,
sauce. But I wanna
yes.
know, do you gals, you two professional chef ladies, do you have any tips on making good pizza at home?
Oh, wow. What a loaded
I mean,
question.
yeah, this is controversial.
Pizza chef.
Yeah, I'm not a pizzaiolo, so but I did make pizza in Napoli in Italy. So I'm 100% an expert. No, I'm just kidding. But I did make pizza there. But I mean it was great because it was like one of these demonstrations, but I got picked to come up front and I had to put on like the apron and the scarf and put the little hat on, and it was hilarious, but I'll never forget it. And it was some of the best pizza ever. But the thing that I learned there and do find true is that you want to use, and it's minimally processed. They blanch the tomatoes, and they peel them,
Yeah.
and then they kind of like break it down. So they are, I think it's like almost like a par cooked sauce is maybe the better way
Yeah.
of thinking
Well,
about
I've
it.
got my whole peeled Italian tomatoes, so I'll blend those with some oregano and I'll make it spicy. I feel like my problem is usually, well, I'm American, so I'm greedy, so I usually put too many toppings on, which they say is like the kiss of death. But then even when I try to be restrained, which is not something I'm good at, I have so much trouble getting it from the peel onto the stone without like some disaster befalling me or the pie. Have you guys found a solution for that?
No. But you should put cornmeal, cornmeal or like
On
a
both
semolina, like a Gretta.
surfaces?
Yes, you don't want to dust it on your pizza stone before you transfer your pizza over. So it's not baked yet, but so underneath wherever you put your dough on the peel, you're going to dust it with that cornmeal or semolina, something that has a little bit of grit so it doesn't stick to your peel, and it should slide right off. So it's got to be like a generous amount. That
So
was
the
something
key
we had.
is the cornmeal.
Because it has the texture is kind of like round little beads
Like
when you
ball
think about it. So I
bearings.
think it's meant to kind of.
It's like semolina or cornmeal or something like that. I did do that in like a pizza cooking thing on a farm once, but
Nice. Well, what do you guys like to put on your pizza? Do you keep it simple?
I did a riff on a pizza that we were obsessed with living in Tel Aviv, Israel. We lived literally above a pizza place called The Pizza, and it's called Ha Pizza, but that means the pizza. And their house pizza was like a basic tomato sauce with sliced garlic, like fresh sliced garlic, really thinly sliced, button or button mushrooms. Oh, the cremini mushrooms, I guess, would work as well. And a bit of mozzarella. And then it's finished at the end with parsley, like really finely chopped parsley. And it was just very simple. That, like you were saying before, it wasn't, there weren't too many ingredients on it. And they were very sparse in how much of each they put. Of course, when I made it just now at home the other day, I like loaded it up. You couldn't even see, anything underneath it, but it was, and I added like a few extra things, like very California style, right? I had some jalapenos in the fridge, so I sliced those up and added those on. I used like a soft mozzarella, like a fresh one, which again I know is tricky because it has more
Moisture.
moisture, so it did kind of get a little bit soggier, but we weren't complaining. We literally ate two of these pizzas, so like it wasn't in the way or anything like that, but. That's kind of my go-to is kind of like whatever I have on hand, and I always love that fresh garlic like touch that the pizza in Israel would always
Was
have at
that
our
typical in
favorite spot.
Israel, or was that place like the exception? Because I know in other parts of the Middle East there I've been, and South Asia, they do atrocious, well, in my opinion, very criminal things to pizza. Like they don't use sauce, they serve it with packets of ketchup. That's a
Stop.
thing. That's real. And that's like the standard. They even adapted Pizza Hut to suit that taste. And same thing with ketchup. And you could get an order of fries with it, which I was like, why is there fries here? This makes no sense. So in Israel, was that the norm, or was it like good Neapolitan style pizza most places?
There was some really exceptional pizza, especially where I was living in Tel Aviv, and I was fortunate, like I said, to live above what was one of my favorites. And they did really just pizza, salad, and pasta, and they didn't have any of the kind of crazier things that I came across during my time there, like specifically corn,
What?
canned
On the
corn
pizza.
on pizza,
With what
on the
else?
pizza. Sometimes tuna fish.
Oh no.
With a good or bad?
It sounds upsetting.
That's kind of where it was. I don't know if I ever brought myself to try it. And it's one of those things.
People are mad about pineapple.
I know. Right? And that's the thing. I actually like pineapple.
I love pizza.
You know, I'm because I like sweet and salty. It's just one of my things. I can't help myself. It's a guilty pleasure, but no shame at the same time. But yeah, the corn on the pizza is a big thing. But to be honest, I've actually heard of that popping up other places. And reminds me when you mentioned about the French fries in Italy, there is pizza where they will put, I wouldn't even necessarily say that they're French fries. I've heard people describe it that way, but potato on
pizza. I love a potato pizza. Yeah.
Right. So it's kind of this funny thing where you add like a starch on top of a starch, you know, for like that ultimate indulgence kind of thing.
That's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
I think it's called like it the white good. Where it has the sliced tomatoes and like you use like a white sauce base and then I don't know, creamy white cheese and ricotta and some basil. Mm-hmm. And I used we were making pizzadillas. So we just assembled a pizza basically, but on a tortilla and baked it. And it was pesto and shrimp and four kinds of cheese that I had on hand. And they were really delicious. I made the pesto.
Oh, wow. That's so creative. That's really something different.
You could do that
different.
With like a pizza topping. I don't know. A little non-traditional.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah, doing like a white pizza or green pizza.
Yeah.
And on a tortilla. Yeah,
and make a red one.
You know, I saw that people doing these tortilla pizzas. And it kind of reminded me of the pizzas when we were kids from the freezer section. You know, the little Tostino's party pizzas?
Mm-hmm.
Were kind of terrible, but also amazing.
I was actually thinking about like doing something where you have a really good, that's where it gets a little tricky, right? Because you have to find a salsa that's not too watery, but I love the flavors of salsa. So making something like a pizza sauce out of more of that salsa base and then using like, a different types of queso or What are Cotija and, you know, those more Mexican-influenced cheeses? I don't know. Crema?
Totally.
Then you could put some elote corn on it.
Oh, man. We're just coming up with all kinds of wild ideas. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah, what you were just saying, though, about that pizza quesadilla reminds me of something. When I was in Italy, something that I came across that I wasn't exposed to before, but it kept always reminding me of a quesadilla there. It's called a piadina. I think it's a piadina. And it was, at least I saw it a lot, it was like kind of a quick fast food thing, like at cafe counters that you could ask for. And it wasn't a quesadilla because it was its own thing there, right? It's its own flat bread. But honestly, literally looks exactly like a tortilla. And then they would put inside like, you know, prosciutto or some sort of like cured meat and mozzarella and like a little handful of arugula, and then it was a lot of the times it was they would put it in like a panini press, you know, so it get all melty and like crispy and chewy and all the things that you want from a quesadilla or from a pizza or whatever. But it was very portable, and there wasn't much bread, so it was different than a sandwich, different than a quesadilla. But the name was a piadina, so that's, it was kind fun. Of even the name to me would always remind me of a quesadilla, and I was like, it's just interesting to see across different cuisines, you know, how some of these translate. Like similar,
totally,
yeah, and how it translates.
Well,
yeah.
And I mean, because pizza started in the Middle East with flatbreads and like the maniche, and
I wouldn't doubt it
technically, and then it came to Italy through Sicily,
the tomato coming from like Mexico, from
Americas. It's an international dish. Yeah, and speaking of that, the James Beard Awards were just announced this week, the winners, which is fun and exciting. It's kind of sad they don't get to be celebrated in person. So I highly recommend checking out that list. And I was reading through it, and one thing jumped out at me. One of the media winners was a writer who wrote about pizza for Airbnb magazine. And I was like, okay, what in the world could possibly be interesting at this point about pizza? And what the heck is Airbnb magazine? So I popped over to check it out. I still don't understand the Airbnb magazine. It seems like it's a channel on Medium, maybe. But in any case, the writing was absolutely brilliant. It turned out to be about the mastery and rise of pizza making in Tokyo.
Oh,
and the Japanese have such an amazing tradition of taking things and perfecting them, because they have that you know, cultural imperative to perfect whatever it is that they're doing and dedicate their life to it. That's why they're so great at making, you know, whiskey and other things like this. So this article was about the pizza masters of Tokyo and kind of how that emerged. And some are doing it in a very kind of more traditionally Italian way, and some have thrown that out the window and are doing it in a very Japanese way. And it's a really fun read. Highly recommend it. And maybe that planted the seed for the pizza. So now I'm going to try to make my Trader Joe dough pizza this weekend.
That dough is great. You know, they'd say, I'll say a slightly vulgar, or share a slightly vulgar saying. They say that pizza is like sex. When it's good, it's really good. And when it's bad, it's still pretty good.
It's true.
It's true.
They're just different categories of food. Like a New York slice is not the same food as a Neapolitan pizza or a frozen pizza. I'll eat it all, but they're different.
They definitely are. They definitely are.
And one won't necessarily scratch the itch for the other.
No.
Yeah. You guys got to try out the frozen one that I was telling you about too, because what's nice is that you don't have to mess with the rolling out the dough and everything. And I was going to say that when you put directly on the what's
oven
it
rack?
On the rack. Thank you. And it doesn't stick or anything like that. And it was the first time using it. And again, straight from Italy, felt like the real deal. It was very good. I was impressed. I mean, again, it's still different, but like you said, everything has a, you know.
Which style of pizza was it most like?
It was kind of more like it was puffier, like on the edges. And it got really crispy on the bottom, like when I cooked it, the right amount of time and everything. It was pretty satisfying, but it doesn't get that beautiful char, that bubbled up side. It does have some bubbling, but you can't get that unless you're using like a stone or wood fire, pizza oven that's like that really high temperature. And as you guys know, my oven is crazy. And I can't go above 350, which is probably actually the equivalent of about 375, because it just runs really hot, and my smoke alarm goes off, and it's a whole production.
What about you, Olivia? What are you making this weekend?
Yeah, I actually, my fridge has never been emptier in the last 2 months. Like, and literally, there is a pack of ground beef in the fridge, and that's it right now. And a bunch of condiments. But, like, there's nothing to, like, make a cohesive meal right now unless I, like, go into my, like, pantry and start, getting the pasta out and stuff like that.
Do you have rice?
So, I do have rice. Do you have something?
Do you have soy sauce? Do you have ginger, garlic? Yes.
Yeah.
So you can make a beef bulgogi bowl. You just, you stir fry the ground beef with, what you would make or use for a basic bulgogi marinade.
What would that be, though? Tell us.
So I just do soy sauce, a little sesame oil, brown sugar, honey, or maple syrup, one of those three sweeteners if I have them, and garlic and ginger. Mm. Sometimes, depending on the meat, if it's like a gamier meat, like let's say you use lamb or something like that, you can put in a dash of vinegar, and that, sometimes grass-fed beef can be a little bit gamier, so a little dash of rice vinegar will help kind of balance that out.
Oh, but perfect.
I don't know ratios. I just kind of dump it in.
Or eyeball it, I guess. You just kind of little this, a little that kind of thing.
A little that. Anytime you have like sugar and soy sauce going on with
meat. Sounds amazing. I think
it's a pretty good thing. And then start to brown your ground beef first, and then add the sauce in like probably the last 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then, the sauce, you can let it'll like caramelize on the edges of the
little bit.
You drizzle it on rice. And if you have, whatever veggie you go with it, it's just really simple. It's really good.
Sounds so good. You can use your pickles.
Use your pickles.
So good.
Do you have any frozen green beans?
I have, I think, frozen peas.
Well, there you go.
Is that going to work?
Sure, why not?
Yeah. just, you know, some veggies or something to go with it. That sounds really
good. Throw it in there. Oh, that's kind of fun. Yeah. It almost makes it like you remember the classic like American fried rice, which is like the little frozen peas and carrots.
Yeah. It's funny. But, it's like, even though I only have that, you know, ground beef in the fridge, you're right. Like, it's not that there's nothing to make. It's like you just have to kind of start digging around and getting the pantry stuff out, which I'm sure actually I could stretch what I've got in the fridge like for another couple days based on that. Like, because I can do like vegetarian stuff. I can do, I've got like eggs in there, so I could do frittatas. I mean, I could figure it all out. But yeah, these are good ideas, ladies. Thank you.
Do you have any canned tomatoes?
I do. I always, that's like, I always have to have that on hand.
Well, because you can just make, if you want to switch it up with your pasta, we do like a pasta tadik, the crispy bottom rice, but with pasta.
Stop. That sounds so good.
It's seriously great. You put olive oil and then maybe some slices of potato in the bottom of the pan and then layer on your pasta and put it over high heat.
Sounds like a modern casserole.
Oh my goodness. It's like a modern casserole.
It's a modern casserole. On that note, I can't wait to hear how it goes
Let's check pantry meals next week. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, this was amazing, ladies. Always a pleasure. Always appetizing to talk with you guys.
Always the best talk.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Modern Casserole. You can find our show notes at moderncasserole.com with links, photos, and recipes from this week's episode. Subscribe today on our website and everywhere podcasts are available.